speaking in New Hampshire earlier this month at his first rally after deadly mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, President Trump talked about what he sees as the way to prevent such crimes.
There is a mental illness problem that has to be dealt with. It's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person holding the gun.
Trump has pulled back from support he expressed earlier for expanded background checks on guns. He's now mostly discussing red flag laws and calling for building more of what he calls mental institutions. And the president is far from alone in making the link between mass shootings and mental illness. But Matthew Kimball, a psychology professor at Middlebury College, says this is a fundamentally flawed way of looking at the issue, and it's inaccurately scapegoating a vulnerable group of people. I spoke to Kimball earlier this week about what research shows about the relationship between mental illness and gun violence. I started by asking him how he defines mental illness.
The way I would define mental illness is consistent with the way the American Psychiatric Association would define it. Would be someone who's struggling with a psychological problem of some type that causes distress or impairment and goes on for a fairly lengthy period of time.
Now, I think the difficulty comes when we look at these things as sort of lay people, people who are not as well-steeped in the language of mental illness as you are, for example. We think about somebody who goes and does the terrible things that happened in El Paso, in
right.
Dayton, so
right.
many other incidents around the country over the years. And we think, well, that person, based on what they did,
right.
must automatically be
right.
mentally ill.
Right.
I mean, how do we differentiate that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important to keep in mind there are a lot of individuals who do horrific acts without mental illness. Often the psychological factors associated with that might be circumstances like hostility, aggression, anger, alienation. And those are factors that are underlying that are involved with people getting involved with these types of atrocities or perpetrating these types of atrocities. I think it's important to keep in mind that the same weekend that we had the mass shootings in Dayton and El Paso, we had 9 individuals killed in Chicago, 39 individuals who were shot as well, but not killed. And in those particular cases, those individuals certainly or most likely didn't have any type of mental illness. So the factors that are associated with these types of behaviors may also be present in individuals with mental illness, but it's not necessary.
So when you hear President Trump, and many who agree with him, by the way, say things like, this is not a gun issue. The gun itself didn't pull the trigger.
Right.
A mentally ill person
right.
did. What's your reaction to that?
My initial instinct is to feel like it's a classic example of scapegoating, taking a really complex, multifactorial problem and targeting a particular group of individuals as being the ones most likely to do that. The facts are that when we think about violent crime in America in general, about 3% can be attributed to people with serious mental illness. And so you're targeting a group of individuals who actually are quite unlikely to do that. Obviously, the majority of individuals with mental illness never perpetrate a violent crime in their life.
I've read, and correct me if I'm wrong, that people who are suffering from mental illness are actually more likely to be the victims of violence than the perpetrators of it. Has your research found that to be true?
That's correct. It's also true that with respect to gun violence, those individuals are much more likely to turn them guns on themselves as opposed to someone else.
Professor Kimball, what's your thinking about these various policy solutions being proposed that come out of the argument that mental illness causes things like mass shootings, red flag laws, things like that?
I have to acknowledge, Mitch, that I come from the perspective that the less guns we have in general, the better off we are, right? That is probably the number one factor associated with violent crime in America, the ease and accessibility of these guns. So when we have rules like red flag laws that are being suggested and have been recently implemented in Vermont, it's hard for me not to be a fan because it's pulling guns off the street. Will it likely solve the issue of mass shootings? almost certainly not. They're fairly rare. Those are circumstances where those individuals often fly under the radar. But they probably would have a lot to do with saving individuals in domestic violence situations, saving individuals who potentially are suicidal. And I think it's worth reminding the listeners that these red flag laws, particularly in Vermont, are ones that are forwarded by a state's attorney that go to a judge, where someone who's pretty sophisticated about these issues is making a decision about whether this individual gets a gun removed from their home. There's no arrest record associated with that. And in fairly short order, that issue is revisited for that individual to have the right to make the argument that I should have that gun back.
Something that drew a little less attention from the president's recent remarks was that he pointed to a shortage of what he called mental institutions. What was your feeling when he talked about that, used that particular term, and what do you think he was getting at?
Yeah. My instinct is to say that that's an incredibly inefficient way to solve this problem. There's part of me, of course, as a psychologist, as a mental health provider, if we can get more federal support for mental health treatment, I'm absolutely behind it. The notion that that would solve the mass shooting crisis, I think, is very unlikely that that would be an outcome of having more institutions out there.
Matthew Kimball is a professor of psychology at Middlebury College. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.